Today we're building a modulated old-school DNB transition with a crunchy sampler texture in Ableton Live 12, and the vibe we're going for is that classic, jungle to modern rolls moment, where the audio feels like it's being chewed up by a piece of broken hardware right before the drop lands. This is not just about distortion. The real goal here is movement. You want the sound to breathe, crackle, filter, smear, and then snap into place with enough space left for the kick, snare, and bass to hit hard. Start by choosing a short source sample that already has some character. The best results usually come from something a little rough, a little tonal, and not too polished. That could be a rave vocal stab, a chopped amen fragment, a bit of vinyl noise, a synth note from a Reese or pad, or even a tiny system noise blip. The more personality the source has, the easier it is to turn it into a convincing transition. Drag that sample into simpler. If you want a clean one-shot effect, use one-shot mode. If you want it to behave more like a playable phrase, use classic mode. And if you're working with a chopped break or vocal fragment, slice can be a really fun option. Turn warp on if the material needs to stay locked to tempo, and trim the start and end points aggressively, so you're only keeping the useful part of the sample. A tiny fade-in and fade-out helps avoid clicks, especially once we start crushing the sound. If you want extra control, duplicate the track now. Keep one version cleaner and one version more processed. That way, if the crunchy layer gets too wild, you still have a solid source to blend back in. Now let's build the core crunch chain. A really strong starting order is simpler into saturator, then drum bus, then redux, then auto filter, and finally utility. Saturator comes first, because we want to thicken the signal before we degrade it. Push the drive somewhere around +3 to +8 dB to start, and keep soft clip on so the edges stay musical instead of turning into harsh digital fuzz. If the sample feels too thin, you can try a harder saturation curve or analog clip style behavior to give it more attitude. Next, add drum bus. This is great for drum and bass effects because it adds punch and grime at the same time. Start with drive around 10 to 30%, crunch around 10 to 35%, and adjust dab if the high end gets too spitty. A little transience boost can help the sound bite through the mix. Usually you want boom low or off for this kind of transition, unless you specifically want a low-end swell that becomes part of the drop. After that, drop in redux. This is where the sampler texture really starts to feel damaged and digital. Try bit reduction around 10 to 14 bits for a lighter grit, or 6 to 8 bits if you want heavier crunch. Downsample can be used carefully to bring in aliasing and that gnarly old hardware flavor. The sweet spot here is usually somewhere between controlled and ugly. You want character, not just static. Then use auto filter to animate the sound. A low-pass 24 dB filter is a strong choice if you want the transition to start dark and open up into the drop. Bent pass can also be great if you want a tighter, more nasal tension. Automate the cutoff so it begins closed and muddy, then opens up over the build. Add a bit of resonance, but don't overdo it unless you want that extra screaming edge. This is one of the biggest ways to make the FX feel alive. Finish the core chain with utility. This is your stereo discipline tool. If the texture is getting too wide and messy, bring the width down a bit. If you want a broader transition, you can open it up, but be careful right before the drop. A narrower, more centered FX can often hit harder because it leaves room for the main drums and bass. Now we move into modulation. And this is where the transition starts feeling like a phrase instead of a static effect. Think in terms of progression. In an 8-bar build, the first couple of bars should feel relatively contained. Then you start opening the filter, increasing the crunch, and adding more motion. In the middle bars, the texture gets more damaged. Then in the final bars, the delay and reverb swell, and the whole thing either explodes outward or pulls back for a fake out before the drop. Automate the auto filter cutoff first. That's your most obvious shape tool. Then automate redux parameters if you want the texture to get more broken as the build develops. Bit reduction or downsample can rise toward the middle of the transition and then back off slightly at the end if you want the sound to resolve instead of just getting harsher and harsher. Saturator drive is another good one to automate, especially in the last one or two bars, when you want the sample to really grind. You can also automate sample start position or transpose in simpler if your source is tonal. A small upward pitch move can create energy, and a slight shift in start position can make the sound feel less static and more hand-edited. This is a really nice old-school trick, because it feels like someone actually worked the sampler rather than drawing a clean synth automation curve. Next, add echo and reverb to create depth, but keep them controlled. For echo, short rhythmic delay times usually work better than huge washes in drum and bass. Try 1/8, 1/8 dotted, or even 1/16 if you want that flickering movement. Keep feedback moderate, maybe around 20 to 45%, and band limit the repeats, so they don't fight the main mix. A little modulation or wow/flutter style movement can help it feel more vintage and worn. For reverb, hybrid reverb is a great choice if you want a dark, detailed tail. Use a small to medium predelay, a decay that fits the section, and make sure you keep the low end under control with a high pass or low cut. The best move here is often to automate the reverb up only near the end of the transition, then cut it sharply right when the drop lands. That contrast makes the drums feel bigger and more immediate. If you want the sound to feel more unstable and machine-like, add a frequency or pitch shifting element. Frequency shifter is fantastic for metallic, uneasy movement. Keep the amounts subtle and automate it carefully. You're usually looking for unease, not obvious effect spam. Shifter can also work if you want a controlled pitch movement or a formant like warp. Even a simple upward sweep of a few semitones over the build can add a lot of energy, if the source sample is tonal enough. At this point, the transition should already be feeling more like a performance than a static effect. And that's the key idea here, treat the effects like a phrase. Give it a beginning, a middle, and a release. Don't just automate everything until it gets louder and louder. Use contrast. Clean to dirty, narrow to wide, controlled to unstable. That's what creates impact in DDNB. A really powerful next step is resampling. Set up a new audio track and choose resampling as the input. Then record your process chain while you move the controls. Once you've captured a strong pass, chop it up like a drum fill or vocal edit. Reverse the tail, trim the attack, pull out the best hit, and arrange the audio like a musical phrase. This is one of the most effective ways to get that printed through hardware feel, because now you're shaping audio instead of only reacting in real time. For arrangement, a solid 8-bar structure might go like this. In bars 1 and 2, keep the texture dryish, darker, and more contained. In bars 3 and 4, increase the grit and begin the pitch or filter movement. In bars 5 and 6, let the delay and reverb become more obvious, and maybe bring in a reverse layer quietly underneath. In bar 7, hit the most intense sweep or frequency shift. Then in bar 8, either hard cut the effects, leave a tiny gap for impact, or reverse into the first snare of the drop. That little moment of silence can be absolutely massive if you use it right. Because this is drum and bass, you also need to make sure the transition doesn't fight the drums and bass that are about to arrive. High pass the effects if needed. Use sidechain compression from the kick or a ghost kick to get the transition breathing in time with the groove. If the drop is dense, keep the final effects hit shorter. If the bass is heavy in the midrange, carve out some low mids with EQ so the transition doesn't muddy the impact. A couple of advanced coaching ideas will make this hit harder. First, use tiny timing offsets. Nudging one layer a few milliseconds forward or back can make the effect feel more like real hardware. Second, print and edit. Once you've got a good pass, render it and cut it into the best moments. Often the most musical result comes from editing the audio itself, not from endlessly tweaking the live chain. And third, think about contrast more than sheer intensity. A cleaner, narrower start that becomes dirtier and wider is usually more effective than something that's maxed out from the beginning. If you want to take it even further, try a dual-layer approach. Put the gritty sampler texture on one lane and a clean tonal riser or noise sweep on another. Then automate them in opposite directions. Let the gritty layer get narrower and more damaged while the clean layer gets brighter and wider. That kind of movement feels like the transition is mutating rather than simply building. Another great variation is a stutter-to-smear moment. Slice the sample into tiny rhythmic fragments for one bar, then suddenly let a long delay or reverb tail wash it out before the drop. That machine glitch fence smear effect works beautifully in darker rollers and jungle-influenced arrangements. For a quick practice exercise, build a 4-bar transition using just one audio sample and no more than 6 devices. A simple chain like Simpler, Saturator, Redux, Auto Filter, Echo and utility is enough to get a seriously usable result. Automate the transpose slightly upward, increase the saturation and crunch over time, sweep the filter open near the end, and throw in short echo tails only at the final moment. Then render it and place it right before a snare drop. If you want a challenge, make a second version with the sample reversed and tucked quietly underneath, and compare which version hits harder in context. So the big takeaway is this. The best old-school DNB transitions don't just sound processed, they sound performed. They feel sampled, damaged, and intentionally shaped. Start with a rough source, add controlled crunch, animate it with filter and modulation, give it some depth with delay and reverb, then resample and edit the result like it's part of the arrangement itself. If you get that balance right, the transition won't just lead into the drop. It'll feel like the whole track is breaking apart and rebuilding itself right in front of you.